If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati.
All right, it is a Monday afternoon. So, one of my favorite features on the show, Make It Make Sense with my favorite.
Oh.
Yes, you are.
Oh.
You are.
And Beetle. Yeah, we have the legend in the studio himself, Mandar. Beetle Mruma.
Beetle Mrumani. So, yeah, today, we're trying to understand what transpired in the Northwest via Stilfontein and Zamas and the struggles under the ground. And, of course, we are getting information from all sorts of media. You know, from radio, from TV, on the internet. But, you know, we actually don't know the truth.
Mm.
So today we're going to try and find out the truth. And maybe Peter Mulemani will bring us the truth. Maybe he was there. We were not there. Tina, we're just relying on you, Ayanda, who's messed up the weather forecast a couple of times.
Yeah, well,
welcome.
Why am I catching strays now on the side? But yeah, you know, it's a story that has caught the attention of many people here at home. But a lot of people actually forget that it's also made international headlines.
Oh, yes.
This was a story that was on the BBC, on Al Jazeera.
CNN,
it is that big.
Yeah,
CNN has also caught on to it. So it is completely worth taking a pause and speaking to people who've had a first-hand account with the individuals that eventually emerged from underground. And Peter Mulemani, extraordinaire, I should add, our reporter, is with us in the studio for a sense of what we don't know beyond the headlines and the bites that you were able to get in our five-minute bulletin. So, Peter, it's great to see you. Thanks for popping by. First of all, can you just briefly describe your time in Stilfontein? It's been a couple of weeks culminating in last week's rescue mission.
Thank you so much, Ayanda, and good afternoon, lady and gentlemen.
Hola, bravizo, bravizo.
Ayanda, let's first start with describing Stilfontein. In short, a very poor area, no developments at all. Residents are telling you that all that they know is illegal mining, and it's not a new thing.
Mm.
They claim that the police officials from government, they know this.
Mm.
Back to your question, you know, it was a very difficult period to be in the area. You know why? Because the story develops each and every day, and you have to be based there. And then you have to make sure that you've got the skills and time to make sure that what you're reporting there is there. So if you are 18 kilometers away from the town, you know, you cannot even go back to town to try to go and buy something. Because as you go to town, there's a development that is happening at the shaft itself, shaft 11. So it was challenging and difficult.
Yeah, so there were like practical challenges associated with telling the story, right? You had to decide, do I drive 18 kilometers to eat or do I wait here in case another body is pulled out, which was a very big reality.
In fact, at one stage you crossed live to me while I was going to try to get food. You know, and then there was a network problem, challenge on the way.
Mm.
And then I just have to make U-turn.
Sure.
And go back to the shaft.
Yeah. One of the most common questions that people ask Peter is, why didn't the miners just come out? You know, why did they have to wait for a point
that
where
long
their bodies are being brought out at the very least?
Indeed, there was a, you know, delay in emergence. And then this is just because a tactic that was used by the illegal miners there. They didn't want to resurface. Why? Because they were being afraid to be arrested. I mean, all the holes, the shafts, they were surrounded by police. And these are not local police. They were different units from the police. I mean, some with the shotguns, with the rifles and likes, you know. So those, if you remember initially, the first 14 who resurfaced, it was a group of them. So some resurfaced, but the others, when they see the police, then they just had to run back into the shaft. And then, unfortunately, there were reports that those who ran back into the shaft, you know, they got injured. Some, you know, got hanged onto the poles that are supporting the shaft, and then they died. Whereby, this was shaft 10, whereby now we are also left with a concern that there are still bodies and illegal miners at shaft 10, even though there are allegations that those all the miners have been resurfaced from shaft 11. But shaft 10 now is a focal point now, of which police have been asked to concentrate on it.
Pizzo, and this is purely for my understanding and me trying to understand why they got weak and ran out of supplies. Is there word on the culture of illegal mining when you talk to the locals there? How long generally do they stay underground? And was there like a word or a tip of that? This is the time they're actually going to come back up. And that is why there was so much reinforcement of police services even outside of that area.
That's a good question, Komoto. And then even now, we don't even know how long have they been there. But we've met families who will tell you that, you know, my husband, my uncle, my son has been there for 11 months.
Sure.
Awesome. 11 months. And then there are those that have been there for even 2 years underground. What happens is that with illegal mining, not all of them are digging gold.
Mm. Okay.
Some, their job is to transport food through a rope. You know, so there are different responsibilities, different departments you know, underground there, you know. And then how they come out, they only come out when they're going to get paid from the kingpins.
The Makulubas,
you know. And shockingly, one of the important things that has happened now is that the most wanted kingpin has escaped.
Yeah, absolutely. We brought that story earlier on here on Kaya News.
Escaped? Hold on. Like how?
So from the moment that he emerged from underground to when he was meant to be in the holding cells, police can't fill in those gaps. In fact, they are.
I
suspect that it's an inside job. This is very important.
No. This is very serious.
This is very serious. They suspect it's an inside job.
The kingpin was at the mine.
Yes.
And came out.
Yes.
And apprehended.
Yes.
Yeah.
But between then going to the police station and him disappearing, just wow.
Yeah. So this is the system. As they resurface, they get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So the kingpin also was part of those who resurfaced. But the kingpin was not arrested. And this is exactly what the MEC for Community Safety Northwest is saying. Heads must roll in Northwest.
Yeah,
for the teams that were there.
For the cops that were on duty and were responsible.
But at least they have the identity of this individual. But guys, you remember when we were talking about this, I said there's no way that miners can go on their own underground mine and just come out with the gold.
Mm.
Someone is watching them.
Oh, yes. I mean, the police have been on the record as saying this is complex and orchestrated.
It is, yeah.
It is carefully planned and carefully executed, including this apparent escape, by the way, of this kingpin.
And by the way, this industry, I think it was last year or the year before when these stories of miners trapped underground were really becoming, I don't want to use popular, but there was something that was happening way too often. There was a conversation about should this industry be formalized?
Mm.
No one wants it formalized.
Mm. Well, it depends who you ask. To be honest, I think there are people who feel it is safer, it is in their interests for it to be formalized. But remember, once that happens, there's conversations around taxes.
Tax.
There's conversations around safety and making sure that people have occupational health and safety standards that are met. All of which, I suppose...
Proper machinery?
Exactly. They introduce a bit of a complexity in the way in which those who run these operations would want to continue running them. But with the time we have left, and I'm looking at it very closely, Pizzo, you started off by mentioning to us that this is an entire ecosystem and there are communities there who rely solely on illegal mining. I wonder if you can just briefly tell us a bit more about that. What is at stake, even for innocent people in Stilfontein, now that there's been so much attention around this and now that it seemingly has been halted?
Well, they are angry, they are disappointed. All that they want is that they want government to continue leaving the illegal miners there. Remember, most of the residents there, they are benefiting from this. You know, I've engaged with women who rent out, the rooms to the illegal miners themselves.
Mm.
You know, there are wives there who will tell you that, you know, my husband will come after 3 months and then we'll just drop 50K, you know? So it's disappointment.
Yeah. Complex story, and we'll try our best to keep telling it as best and as responsibly as we can. Pizzo Mlimane, I think you did a fantastic job in Stilfontein. So thanks very much indeed for breaking it down. Is that an applause? Yes, we'll take it. Masibonge, Masibonge, Peter Milimane, our reporter here at
Kuma. But there's a township there.
No, Tuma was dangerous. In fact, one of the reporters from Newsroom Africa, you know, was even approached. You know, so as journalists, we're distancing ourselves from the community. We only meet at the shaft, you know, in the presence of the police. But on your own, it was difficult. I mean, at one stage, I was interviewing a gentleman there, and then just a minibus taxi stopped, and then they called the guy, and then they told the guy to not even speak to KFM because they see the branded car of KFM, you know. So those were some of the challenges and likes. And then we decided to say we need to regroup and not only speak to the community members and the residents while we are at the mine shafts.
Okay. Sheesh. There you go.
Sure. Hi. Yeah.
I guess you're bonk.
Hi, yeah, as in.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
Guys, I'm again. Peter Mlemane, siyabonga for breaking down everything here this Amazama. I'm Arlobaba. Ashem. Kopaling hooking up Peter Mlemane.
South African Police Service. Ashem, no bashole, Ashem. Muto, Twanzinga, Twaroba, Tlang, Siras, they released the guy. It's Tabo Pexta story, Musi. Ah, come on, guys. Kim Khele Mogotema was Prince. Ah.
Hi, Gabne. When are we having Babu Mkhwanazi to be the national commissioner? Not yet.
No. When are we having him as a national? Because he would have answers one. Mm. Two, the people that maybe decided to let this kingpin go would have thought would ipositu Mkhwanazi. So we need to go and be responsible and have answers with Lomuntu SKP Wanjan.
So I was saying to KG when you guys were not in the studio, like, if this was planned by someone to let this guy go, I think the dumbest thing that they did was just letting one person go. Maybe they should have at least released three or four and say four prisoners escaped. And maybe no one would have suspected that the kingpin is gone.
I think the price tag was too heavy because I don't think you would release a person like that without a proper price tag. I think...
Mm-hmm.
He offered real money. You know the movies that are...
Yeah, Babang, you release them for free.
Anev, it's in Kingpin.
No, Kingpin, carry the other ones by 3-4.
Yeah, they're for free.
Free.
The other three are just...
Exactly.
The headline.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't have the one guy that you guys are looking for.
Mm.
Alone.
And then disappears.
But I get a mudimulena apart by Bogat. It needed to be clear that there's some new happening, because a lot of people died, guys, whether we like it or not. You know, a lot of people lost their lives, a lot of people lost loved ones with this thing that can't be formalized for whatever reason, because also our government needs to answer why we can't formalize this thing. It happens everywhere. It's not a Stilfontein phenomena.
Even here in Rivoli,
and they are violent, those guys. They are violent.
Are we going to have an inquiry that people are going to sit down and spend millions?
Never. That's why the DJ suggested.
The DJ?
The DA.
Oh, the DA.
Yeah. It's a political group.
Why Patan?
It's a political group. Yeah.
So we're going to have an inquiry.
No. They must pay for it. If the DA wants an inquiry, they must pay for it.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.